This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tom Brady going to join Fox Sports lead analyst after his career is done. You like that move?
Do you think that means calling games or studio?
It says lead analyst.
I mean, normally lead analyst means calling games. Is he really going to travel every week? That'd be incredible.
Are they going to have a simulcast and kind of do like a Brady's Bunch or something? Like, I'm just thinking that name off the top of my head. I have no idea if anything's copyrighted. I'm just thinking. Like, they have the Manning cast. Would you not try to do it with Brady? I don't know.
I think everything we know about the way that they're broadcasting these games and how they are going to get out to consumers, I think it could be totally different in a year or two.
Well, you can talk about both spectrums of quarterbacks. Let's bring on Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Also author of Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works and Doesn't. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not bad. Tom Brady, lead analyst for Fox. I'll just start right there. Your thoughts?
Well, I have a feeling that what it means is he will step into the Troy Aikman spot. He'll be the top analyst on their games, the weekly top game on Sunday afternoon, the 4:25 p.m. Eastern kickoff that actually gets a gigantic audience. Those late afternoon games get bigger audiences most weeks than any of the primetime games of the weeks do. And I have a feeling that he'll be paid an amount of money, beginning with a 2, maybe a 3 per year to do it. For him to commit now with still who knows how many years left to play, whenever his playing career ends, they're going to hold that spot for him. So apparently they're just going to have someone, Greg Olsen, I don't know who, in that spot for the next year or two, and then Brady's going to take over. And I bet that the latest we're going to see him is 2023, because Fox has the Super Bowl this year. And Fox has the Super Bowl, I'm sorry, I'm getting my years mixed up, in 24. The latest we see him is 24. So I think maybe he plays 2 more years max, and then he joins Fox for a year that they have the Super Bowl to get his broadcasting career started. I'm surprised he's doing it, but my guess is when you look at how haywire the market has gone and what a name he has, I won't be surprised if they're paying him $30 million a year. I really won't be.
God in heaven. Mike Florio joining us on the show. Okay, well, we got something to talk about during the podcast after the show, Tone. You had a tweet yesterday, and I was gonna quote tweet it, Mike, and I say, Mike's going to join us tomorrow morning at 9. I was like, I didn't want you to read it the wrong way and then maybe be upset with me, I swear to God. So I was like, well, we'll bring Mike on. You wrote, the Baker Mayfield situation is the latest litmus test for separating those who view pro football players as human beings from those who view pro football players as property. Explain.
Well, we've seen this time and again over the years, and some teams are starting to get away from it. We've seen players this year who want out of a given situation having that desire accommodated by their team, whether it's Devontae Adams leaving the Packers for the Raiders via trade when the Packers wanted to keep him, Tyreek Hill leaving the Chiefs for the Dolphins at a time when the Chiefs would have liked to have worked out a contract and keep him around. A.J. Brown out of Tennessee, landing in Philadelphia with his good friend Jalen Hurts. Hollywood Brown wants out of Baltimore. He gets his wish. There's a greater sensitivity within some organizations to the humanity of the players. And this is one of the themes of Playmakers. I try to get fans to be more willing to regard the players as human beings and not as robots, as interchangeable parts in a football machine. And there are some teams that still will treat a player like a piece of a machine. And there are plenty of fans whose knee-jerk reaction is to react to a player in a way that disregards the fact that he's a human being and There's a resentment there that's baked in because the perception is they're all rich and famous. They're not. Some are. Most aren't. But with Baker Mayfield and the fifth-year option that the Browns picked up a year ago when they had every intention of keeping him around, and then they told him after the season, you're our guy, period. And then at some point after that it became, you're our guy, comma, unless we can get Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, or Russell Wilson. And now they're squatting on the contract, trying to win some small battle, win some chess match with some team where we get a fourth-round pick or we only have to pay X amount of the money that he's due to be paid, and they can't work out a deal, they can't find a trade partner, and they're going to squat on a guy who doesn't want to be there. And I just think it sends a bad message to the locker room, to current players, to future players. You're treating a guy like he's a piece of property that you own, not that he's somebody who has a career that he wants to get on with, that the Browns, I view this as a sunk cost. When you're going to pay $230 million to Deshaun Watson over 5 years, you know it. You know going in that you're moving on from Baker Mayfield. You've exercised the option. You owe him that money. Just move on from him. Do what the Giants did yesterday with James Bradbury. They couldn't find a trade partner, so they cut him. And the sooner they do that, the sooner Baker Mayfield moves on with his life. Maybe he makes more money somewhere else and it chews into what the Browns have to pay him. Who knows? But I just think that we have folks out there that recognize that the people who play football and entertain us are humans, and there are people out there who just look at them as a guy who, you know, should be happy to get whatever he can get, and how dare he ask for more, and he should just shut up and play, and they get viewed as that piece of property. The team owns the player, and I feel like the way the Browns are handling Baker Mayfield, that's the message that's being sent.
Mike Florio, joining us on the hotline. I always find this discussion interesting. You said it's highlighted throughout your book, playmakers that we've talked about before. When it came to concussions, when we'd open up the phone lines, it just seemed like fans did not have that much sympathy. They all acted like players should have known what they were getting themselves into and that they're getting paid all this money, and that contractually when this happens, it seems like they don't have a lot of sympathy. And furthermore, with the draft, anytime it gets brought up, and you've talked about this, about abolishing the draft and allowing players to kind of, within salary cap structure, be able to pick their teams. Fans don't like that at all. Fans hate that because they don't want this to be like real life. So how hard is it to find sympathy for players making that much money?
Well, it's hard because it's so baked in. And we resent, I don't mean me, I mean people, human beings. It's human nature, I think, to resent the players who are perceived as getting some sort of a windfall, as being the recipients of some genetic lottery where they were given these God-given skills that anybody else could have gotten, but they got them, and they should be grateful they got them. They should be grateful for everything that flows from them. It overlooks and disregards the work that's put in to get the most out of those skills, the levels of football through which they've progressed, the risks they take every time they step onto a football field, the damage that we know is done to their bodies and their brains. We all know it now. We weren't sensitive to it 13 years ago, but it didn't take a genius to figure out if you paid any attention to boxing and what happened to boxers after years of getting hit in the head. Yeah, it's probably not good for football players, even with a helmet on, to be repeatedly hit in the head. And I think they knew, or they would have accepted those risks. But at the end of the day, the issue is, and this is what astounds me, when push comes to shove, the fans fall in line behind the billionaire oligarchs. And I don't know why. I don't know it's because they identify the owners with the team, so they want to support the team. And supporting the team means lining up behind people who are so rich we can't even comprehend how much money they have, versus the guys who are going to put in two, three, four good years. And not many guys who play in the NFL are set for life. A lot of those guys end up with nothing by the time it's all said and done for a variety of reasons. They get overextended. They never were expected to learn how to manage their money. They get so many people who are trying to take money out of their pockets. They do not walk away, for the most part, from the NFL with the kind of money that gives them lifetime financial security. But we resent them. And I think at the core, people just want their football teams to be stable, consistent, and continuous. And when a player wants more, that threatens the harmony. So we just blame the player, even if the player's in the right.
I'll tell you this. This isn't even a question, Mike. This is a theory I'll throw about it, is that the owners, it's at some point, it feels like they're just a random Facebook account with an outline. I don't even know if there's a love or a hate, or it's just a It's just a vessel. And the organization, we back the organization because they represent the colors that represent the city, and the city is represented by the people, and the people love those things. They spend their holidays with football. And so I feel that that's why they have – I feel that's why the Steelers fans are connected to the Steelers and Browns and so on and so forth. And I think they pick and choose what players they stand behind. And if a player spends an entire career with them, great. If they don't, then I think they just move on to the next one.
And one of the byproducts of free agency is players move more than ever before. And I think you're absolutely right. Both Jerry Seinfeld and Billy Crystal have similar bits where they say that when you're a sports fan, you're just rooting for laundry. Mm-hmm. And a guy that you love, he's wearing different laundry the next day, you hate him. It's all about who's wearing the shirt. And the owners do become identified with the colors, with the names, with the logos. And because they manage to keep their affairs out of the public eye, we don't know how much money they're making. You know, we see these numbers that we just can't comprehend, like Rob Walton, who very well may end up buying the Broncos, worth $69.5 billion. You know, we don't hear every year how much he's making. Like, if we had the same kind of transparency with what the owners make and we know what the net profits are of the organization, if there was full and complete, like a corporation, like it is in Green Bay. The difference in Green Bay, though, is there isn't an owner who is drawing some gigantic amount into his or her personal coffers every year. If we knew that, if we could compare what the owners are making to what the players are making, then maybe we would start down a path of having a greater sensitivity to the players. I don't know. But I really do think it is a byproduct of the fact that we root for the teams. We want the teams to be good. We want the players to be there. We want them to be happy. And if they're not happy, it must be something about them, not something about what the team is doing to them.
Mike Florio joining us, Pro Football Talk, also the author of Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works and Doesn't, available on Amazon and in bookstores now. Shouldn't I, though, Mike, be more upset? Like, Baker Mayfield, we always say, well, he's getting $18.5 million, to hell with him. But shouldn't I be more upset over, like, a thing like exclusive rights free agency, which, I mean, there's been times as a fan where a player has a nice season and we go, well, too bad, we got you, ERFA. You got to come with us or you basically can't play in the NFL at all anymore.
Well, exclusive rights free agency means you're not a free agent. You have two options. You take whatever the minimum salary tender is that the team has to give you to hold your rights exclusively, or you don't play. That's it. You just don't have a contract. You know, it's the way it used to be back in the 70s, 80s, and early part of the 90s, where when your contract expired with your team, well, I got to negotiate a new contract. What's my leverage? Well, it's not that I can go play for anyone else. So my leverage is to just not play at all and not be in violation of my contract. So, look, there are all sorts of different rules and restrictions that make it harder for the players to get what they maybe should be getting. And with Baker Mayfield, that fifth-year option that holds him in place at $18.8 million, and it's not about the 18.8 because he's getting that one way or the other. Unless he does something really stupid and gives the Browns cause to cut him for a reason other than skill, injury, or cap, like the Ravens did to Earl Thomas a couple of years ago, and then say, we're not paying you. Unless he does that, he's getting that money. But what people don't focus on is the idea that Baker Mayfield wants to have a career beyond 2022. He needs to be somewhere this year where he can make the kind of a mark that will make him attractive to that team or some other team in free agency. And the longer this goes on, the harder it's going to be for him to walk through the door, to get up to speed, and to go have the kind of year that puts him in line for a big contract on the open market. That's why I think at some point it's worth it to him to consider doing what Odell Beckham Jr. did in November when he took less money from the Browns to get out. Now, I just think that the situation has degraded to the point where they're not going to be able to work anything out. He's so pissed off at the team at this point after what he was told and what they did and how they went after Deshaun Watson. And I think the thing that was most damning from the ESPN article last week was the belief by Mayfield and those close to him that in week 17 at Pittsburgh, they deliberately set out to make him look bad so they make it easier to move on to Deshaun Watson. Whether that's true or not, if he believes that, I don't see how you ever work out anything amicable with the Browns. It's just a bad, toxic situation. It's a distraction for the Browns. And the sooner they clear out that cloud, the better off they're going to be when it's time to win football games in 2022.
Mike Florio with us. A few more questions quickly. Deshaun Watson going to be deposed twice this week. Then it'll happen again in June. However, there seems to be more and more speculation that the NFL may not suspend him this year. If suspend him at all, I guess what we're left with wondering now, Mike, do you think the NFL knows the parameters of a potential suspension? And do you think they will announce if he won't be suspended so that we will at least know and the Browns decision makers will know what to expect this year?
The NFL does nothing when it comes to player discipline until it absolutely has to. It has learned from mistakes to not make a decision and not make a move until it's required. There are people in the league office who believe that Deshaun Watson should be put on paid leave until these 22 cases are resolved. The commissioner said something in late March that implied they're not going to do that. If they do anything, they'll just go ahead and suspend him. There are three different approaches I think the league could take. One, you suspend him now and be done with it no matter what happens with the 22 cases. Two, you wait until the 22 cases are over and suspend him then, if he's going to be suspended at all. Three, you suspend him now with the understanding that based upon how these cases play out, we may revisit it and impose further punishment. That gives them a fallback in the event there's some massive runaway verdict and the jurors tell reporters afterward they were appalled by the conduct and et cetera, it becomes a big PR mess for the NFL. They can go back and do something. So those are the three options. I just look at this. And the Trevor Bauer suspension of a couple of weeks ago, 2 years. Now, the facts of his case are a lot more graphic and troubling, but still at the core, it's an allegation of sexual misconduct. I think that the NFL quite possibly may feel compelled to take serious action against Deshaun Watson. Remember, it's all a PR tool. Everything about the personal conduct policy is a PR tool. In 99% of the workplaces in America, anything that you do away from work is between you and the criminal or civil justice system. As long as you can show up for work, we're not passing judgment. In the NFL, they do because it's a PR tool. And you got to remember that every step of the way. They are thinking, how are people going to react if we suspend him, if we don't? If we do 6 games, if we do 4 games, if we do a season, if we do it now, if we do it later? It's all a PR calculation, and the NFL doesn't make a decision until it absolutely has to.
Pro Football Talk, find him there. Mike Florio, author, writer. Mike, we thank you very much for the time.
Good talking to you guys. Have a good day.
You too. Mike Florio joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, a lot to unpack there. We got the playmaker, Michael Irvin, set to join us 9:30. Hopefully we will get him on time. A lot to get to. There's some things that we disagree with when it comes to Baker Mayfield. And if you're Baker Mayfield, though, the one thing I have to say, there's no way I would take less. You can't. The market has shown you can't take less. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan. So we just said...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
And Mike Florian from Pro Football Talk. Some folks wanted to fight. I'm not going to fight the guy on... Like, I disagree with him about the Baker Mayfield stuff, but I do see where he's coming from. I would just be more upset with the possibility of exclusive, the quote-unquote exclusive rights free agency, which I asked, which is not free agency at all. And there have been times where even I, as a fan, like a guy has a good year, like Dearness Johnson. Oh, he had a good game, huh? Well, too bad. Like, you can tender guys and do all that, and you can make more money, but... The exclusive rights free agency isn't free agency at all. The team has exclusive rights, and if you don't want to play for them, you can't play for any other NFL team. What?
Yeah, the thing that I find very interesting is Florio said something.
You didn't give a damn about anything I just said. You were just
I don't even
know.
Yeah.
You don't care. Why did I even bring it up?
The exclusive rights thing.
Yeah,
is
nobody
just,
cares about that. Let's just talk about Baker Mayfield. What am I doing? No, it's my fault. It's my fault for dilly-dallying around the actual thing here. That's on me. That's not on you. You take it away.
No, but I think what fans are responding to the most, what they can't stand, is Mike Florio or anybody. He's not the only one. There are a bunch of
Baker Mayfield
that are saying, what in the world do the Browns owe Baker Mayfield? What do we as fans owe Baker Mayfield? And then Mike basically makes the point that fans always side with the owners. But I don't think they're truly siding with the owners. I don't think if you put Jimmy Haslam out there and it's like, do you want to run over to the Jimmy Haslam a pile or do you want to go over here? No, it's not that they're siding with Jimmy Haslam.
They're just
siding with Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
That's all that means to them is obviously why do we talk all this bad stuff about every player once they're gone? Once they're no longer a Cleveland athlete with very few exceptions, fans are going to dump on you just like they would in any other city.
And in this but I think this is a slight exception because I think you can tell by the vitriol of the response to Baker Mayfield eventually being jettisoned. He's just no longer in the Browns' future at all.
Mm-hmm.
That I think there were a lot of feelings that a lot of people didn't like him and they were just holding back because he was the Browns' quarterback. And then they finally let it out.
Yeah, that probably
And I think
true.
That's been a little bit over. I think some of it's been a little bit overdone. But I think they've been holding it in for a long time. When we finally break it down and say, what's Baker Mayfield worth? Well, he is a human being, for crying out loud. And just because you're getting paid $18.5 million does not mean anybody can do anything to you that they want.
Oh boy,
that's
interesting.
Not the case.
That's interesting.
Oh, go ahead, please.
That's interesting because I think it's one of the themes of everything we talk about on this show and what fans talk about in sports talk radio and what athletes have been talking about. When Kevin Love is telling you, we are just like you, we are making all this money, but that doesn't change the fact that we are hurt by things you say, we are hurt by the actions of teams, and yes, we make a ton of money to make that hurt be okay, to have that not affect us. But then when the athletes are still telling you, it still does affect them. When they do read mean tweets, it still does affect them just like it would affect us. And fans will reciprocate by making sure you know that, no, we have bigger problems. We have bigger problems. We don't know how we're going to pay for gas today at the pump.
I'm sorry, guys. That's just what the money's for. But that's what it is.
But that divide. But the players will consistently tell you that you could say that, but they are hurt by the things you say. They are hurt by the actions of teams. They are hurt by having to move every year and having to uproot their family. And yes, they have the money to make that as easy as humanly possible, but they still want you to consider them humans just like the rest of us.
You're right. I will consider them. Like, you don't need to say vile things and threaten families and do that type of thing just because you know the athlete makes a lot of money. There is a society that we're living in. There is a sense of decorum that we should have. You're right about that, but in a lot of ways, it's like, hey, man, because, you know, Pornhub blowhard Jackson 8892XXX on Twitter is saying nasty things about me. Do I really need to get that worked up?
Then when Deshaun Watson or whoever runs his account decides to block everybody on social media and some people are in an uproar.
9:30. I can't believe it took us that long.
I do think that you don't have to agree with it. And oftentimes I don't. I'm like, really? Really? You can't take a few mean tweets. You're making 30 million, 40 million, 50 million a year. But every time the athletes will consistently tell you, this does affect us. This does impact us. Stop treating us like we are anything other than human.
Well, when it comes to his account, I just assume he doesn't run it.
Yeah, I don't know. I assumed he didn't either, but who knows?
I mean, I would say a lot of athletes, very well-known athletes, don't run their own social media accounts.
Yeah, Big Ben went and blocked everybody a few years ago.
People will be quick to say about the Instagram stuff, yeah, guys, I got it. I don't think that he would run it anymore, and I don't think he runs his own Twitter account. I'm guessing. That's a total speculative guess by me. Either way. The thing about Baker, though, I'll say this, and then we'll get to the calls. 216-578-0092. If I'm Baker Mayfield, there's no way I'm taking a penny less now. And it's not about anger. It's not about that. What did the market tell you? I mean, if you were that good, wouldn't a team pay the freight? Wouldn't a team pay close to 18? I don't think they're going to pay $18.5 million. But when they go, say it's like up to $4 million. When you pay $14 million for what you thought was a franchise quarterback, Baker Mayfield still thinks he's a franchise quarterback. He's putting this on the Browns. And Ken Carmen would too, and Anthony Lima would too. If we were in his situation, we'd say, it's the Browns. I'll be better somewhere else. Here we are 2 months later. How long has it been? Almost 3 months.
Yeah, I thought
since they made the
now.
Trade for Deshaun Watson. We're 7 days away, I think it is. 8 days away. So it's been 3 months. The league's telling you they do not think that highly of you. I'm going to give back any of this money? No. And it doesn't even have to be anything personal. It is personal to Baker because everything's personal to Baker. But I can look at this and go, why would I give up a penny to go somewhere else? I need to guarantee every bit of money I can because Baker Mayfield will probably be fine for life. Nobody's crying a river of tears for Baker Mayfield. He'll probably, when it's all done, he'll probably go into TV and he'll be good at TV and he'll do other things. He will be fine. But $18 million just doesn't happen overnight and can go away very quickly. I have to hold on to that money. The league has said what they think of you, whether you want to admit it or not, whether Baker Mayfield's most ardent fans want to admit it or not. This is not a hostage situation, guys. This isn't. This is a quarterback. And teams have proven, like the Browns did, if they feel that a quarterback is that good, they will pay any number that is out there for that quarterback if they think that quarterback is very good and can help their football team and win Super Bowls with them. It does not matter. Money is no object. Ask the Green Bay Packers, ask the Cleveland Browns, ask the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ask anybody. They will do whatever it takes to bring in a quarterback. And so they're telling you they don't think you're very good. You can't give up a penny.
Sure, but money has to be part of it because in a year, if he just sits out this entire year, there will be teams that are going to line up to offer him a deal, right?
Yes, I would say yes.
I mean, Tyrod Taylor had a starting job.
Yes. Of some level, I would say yes. Yes.
That so money, somebody has, will to, bring money has to have something to do with
and
it.
And that's not it.
Maybe
be
it's
nice
just that, the teams didn't plan on absorbing $18 million this year.
And he will have $18.5 million before taxes, more wealth than what he had last year. And that's fine. He's more within his rights, and I say do it. Because it doesn't have to be personal while it is. You got to take the money while you can get it. Deshaun in Cleveland, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Deshaun.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, how you doing? Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy to talk to you guys. Listen, What do we owe Baker Mayfield? First off, he tried to bury us. He tried to bury our organization when he thought that we weren't getting Watson. He thought that we had to go back to him crawling. We did. And what did he say? Trade me. He has threw Stefanski under the bus. He has threw Andrew Berry under the bus. He has threw the Browns under the bus. Please tell me, what do we owe him? Why do we need to make him so comfortable?
Let me interject for a second, Deshaun. Let me interject for just a minute. I can't play victim the entire way. I think the Browns had a feeling he'd react that way. Wouldn't you have a feeling he'd react that way?
Yes. They know him. They know him. Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So all I'm saying is this. I would have been all for letting Baker pick where he wanted to go. We got our quarterback. Listen, this guy took us to the playoffs. We didn't want a part like this, but we have to. We got a better quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. I would have been all for it. But this guy's a prick. He's showing you every day he's immature. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing we can do. Barry, I'm sorry. Just let him go. Get him out of our city. Let him go.
Can't do it. I wouldn't do it.
I'm sorry.
I wouldn't do it.
Let him go.
I wouldn't do it.
Oh, we can wait. Now, listen, I'm with you, too. We can hold them all year. Oh, well, we can hold them until somebody – I would do that, too. But I'm just tired of hearing – his name every day. Get him out of our city. Thank you, boys.
Deshaun, thank you for the call. I'm not tired – like, we just talk about it because we're on the peripheral. Andrew Berry doesn't have to hear about it. He only has to talk about what matters. So he doesn't have to hear – if he doesn't want to listen to Browns fans say to get rid of Baker Mayfield and just not listen to the radio. He doesn't have to. He just shows up to the office and does his thing. He can only talk about what matters. He can talk to the Panthers or the Seahawks or whoever the hell might be interested in Baker Mayfield and try to pound out a discussion. Or he can hold on to, because what Baker Mayfield is, he's an asset. He can hold on to the asset. He's a depreciating asset, don't get me wrong, but he is an asset nonetheless, and he can hold on to that asset until the time were to become where you would release him. It's diminishing, yes, but it's still that. And if he could pay the freight on anything, because either way, they're still going to have $26+ million left, right? $26+ million left in cap space. Whether they cut Baker Mayfield or keep Baker Mayfield, he still has that to play with. So there might be a different conversation if they're able to move on from Baker about signing maybe some other free agents. But you're not going to spend $26 million in cap space right now, at least not before the trade deadline. Who the hell knows what you can do by then? But you're not going to do all that. So he can sit there, and I don't mean to say rot, but he could sit there and rot until somebody somewhere needs him. And then we can cut a deal. Because I do think, I don't want ego to play into this, and I would hope that Andrew Berry wouldn't, but if it's me, you guys know I'm an emotional being. That whole OBJ thing and just letting him go and winning a Super Bowl for a little bit less, that kind of sticks in my craw a little bit. I'm like, can we got something there? Can we got a sixth? Can we got a seventh round pick? Even that. Because if I'm good at picking players, maybe I can turn that into a good player. Donovan Peoples-Jones, sixth round pick. You guys all said he was bigger than Josh Naylor this morning. I got Dimitri Felton, sixth round pick. We're all excited about him. Maybe I could do something with another sixth round pick. We'll take more of you guys coming up, 216-578-0092. Do we owe it to Baker Mayfield just to cut him? Mike Florio says yes. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan. We have to get this on the record one more time before the end of the show. What time's first pitch tonight? Is it another 8-10 first pitch?
8-10, yeah.
He hit a grand salami. He hit a three-run home run. He had 8 RBI. The video's been circulating all throughout the news and social media. All throughout, the White Sox lost that game last night. Tony La Russa's the manager. I don't know if I can find a ticket on Prop Swap right now, but I'd have to bet that Naylor's getting thrown at tonight.
Definitely going inside.
I'm
going
to bet that he's going to get beaned.
I imagine they don't want to allow him to be comfortable up there. And, you know, I did look, and again, I don't know why anybody cares about bat flips, because no fans of any team cares about them. In fact, they love it when their players do it. So who is actually against bat flipping? Well, it seems like players are, they're the first ones to bat flip.
I think Tony La Russa is definitely against bat flipping. Just look at the guy. He looks like a mean Muppet.
Didn't he go after one of his own?
Also against eyebrow tweezers.
Mm-hmm. Come on, say it. I know what you're thinking.
Sobriety. But he went
there
against... But wait a second.
There
last year, didn't he go after one of his own players for, I believe...
Yeah, he did.
...showing up the other team?
Yes. Yeah. It was late in the game, and I think they were up.
So is he the last person who cares about bat flipping?
So he threw
in America.
So Naylor and... People say he was cussing. I couldn't discern what he was saying. He was speaking in tongues, for all I know. But he threw his helmet in the dugout. He is shouting
at the
camera. I'm surprised. I don't know if he might have. Would La Russa have heard it in the ninth inning, him shouting at the camera? Because I'm surprised he didn't get beaned in the 11th.
Well, the helmet throw was the 11th.
But the cussing at the camera was in the ninth.
It was a little far away. He's at the other end of the other side of the dugout.
La Russa's in his 70s, been in loud stadiums his entire life. Maybe he didn't hear him. Yeah, you're right about that.
Maybe, you know.
They can't see you, Owen, when you're doing that, and that doesn't affect your hearing.
Glug, glug, who knows?
It doesn't affect your hearing. It affects your motor skills. Good God. It's a Hall of Fame manager, and look what you did.
Yeah, I know. He was my favorite manager as a child, too.
I know.
I'm almost 40, and he's still in Major League Baseball.
A lot of people are agreeing with me. Garrett says La Russa should throw at his own players after that defensive performance.
Yeah, probably should.
He's the type of guy. They were up 8-2 going into the bottom of the ninth, and La Russa reminds me of the type of guy that goes, Guardians, what are you doing? It's 8-2. We've got this game won. Why are you trying still?
There was all sorts of gaffes going on. I mean, both teams throughout. I mean, there was one point.
I'll win the slop. I don't care.
Yeah, Class A made a terrible decision, and I don't even know if anybody was covering first. He decides to go home. There was some really, really bad moments. Not the purest of baseball yesterday.
Well, I'm glad they won.
Well, that's how a game like yesterday can end up so wild. You're not going to see a game like that with two teams playing at the top of their game.
Let's clarify, too. When it comes to Baker, maybe you feel differently. I don't feel we should cut him just to move on. Like, Deshaun seems so tired. We had a caller from a guy named Deshaun. Who's called in before? Deshaun, our caller, seems so just upset with the Baker talk or tired of the Baker talk. He just wanted to cut him and move on. I don't believe that. I don't believe in cutting him, period. Until the right deal is there. For a seventh-round pick, sixth-round pick, if you got to eat, you got to eat. I got to get something back for a quarterback. I'm just pointing it out. My whole zest to not cut him is purely football-driven. purely draft pick driven. That's all.
Kenny, I imagine right now they could get a sixth or a seventh. It's just the money. The money is the huge issue here.
And if I'm him, the league has told you exactly what they think of you. They'd be willing to give up the picks. I don't think they care about that. I think they'll move on with that. But the money, I think the league is telling you that they really don't think you're that great. Or there's plenty of people and plenty of front offices who've been told plenty of things from locker rooms because these guys talk more than ever about whatever his interests might be in the locker room or whatever whoever might be upset with him in the locker room. I have no idea. I still wouldn't want to think that. You think about guys that people bring in, I still wouldn't want to think that, all right, he didn't gel well with the Browns. He didn't gel well with the Browns locker room by year four. Would that have that big of an effect? I don't think so. Jim in Strongsville, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Listen, I don't know what dream world Florio is living in. I want to preface this with this. We are all just assets, okay? Mm-hmm. Ken, you're an asset to that. You're an asset to the radio station. If they came, I'm not going to feel bad for you if they come to you and say, Ken, you're not allowed to go on the radio for a year, but we're going to pay you $20 million. Guess what? Congratulations for Ken. Florio actually wants to make an exception for these guys because they're athletes, and this is what they do. They play sports. Secondly, all these other teams, like all these teams that accommodated all these players that he mentioned, yeah, they accommodated them because they weren't going to pay them, and they got first-round picks back in return. They got a good return on that investment that they weren't planning on paying anyways. And then the guy from the New York Giants that he mentioned, that guy, oh, they did him a favor? They saved $10 million on the salary cap. So everything that he says, I'm going back to it, I'm looking, yeah, the team won on all of these. They either got draft picks or they got cap relief. They got something out of it. They didn't do this just to be a charity and be nice to these players. They did it because it benefited them. So I look at his whole argument, and I'm just like, what are you even talking about? It's like bizarro land.
Well, so what do you want to do with Baker then? What is your problem?
Oh, I hold him till I get something for him. Okay. What am I going to do? Do this guy a favor?
Okay, I just want to make sure, Jim. That's all.
And by the way, Nick, you're so right. That was the best spaz out I've ever seen from a professional athlete ever.
Thank you. See, so with the Jim and I, yeah, it was we're weird. On the same page
some,
all of a sudden.
Some people
thank you
on
for the
social
call.
Media were going, "What's wrong with him?" They were like, "This guy, is he not right in the head?" Like people were looking at it. And I'm like,
good.
"He just did some crazy, crazy, amazing things, and he was having the all time." Jolt that would come with doing anything amazing, which how many of us in our lives have ever done anything that amazing?
Not that amazing.
I've never.
Not
I've
that amazing.
Come close.
I think that the more of a wild card people think that Josh Naylor is, the more I'm fine with it.
Well, as long as he can harness it in to stay, you know, mentally there when he needs to be, big moments of a game, not too emotional. Like, yeah, as long as he can demonstrate that over time.
We're going to have to go over it again tomorrow. Florio made me kind of, like, week by week, I change, I flip-flop. I can't help it. I think you do the same. I think a lot of media does the same. I was starting to think that the suspension for Deshaun Watson would be lower. As time went on, I kept thinking lower, 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 lower. Like, it went from, like, 10 games to 8 games to 4 games to, well, we'll see how this goes.
Everyone keeps saying it's becoming more and more obvious, and I think as they're saying that, it's becoming more and more not obvious. I have no idea what the NFL is going
to
do.
I don't think anything is obvious there to say, well, he's going to do this.
And I think whoever ends up, eventually somebody's going to be right, like if he ends up getting one game or zero games, or if he gets eight.
I don't think
there's
the NFL,
a bunch of people that have said everything, so they're all going to come out of the woodwork and say, see, I was right.
My entire thought of it is the NFL doesn't care what other leagues do. Florio mentioned specifically Trevor Bauer in Major League Baseball, but I've never thought that the NFL has cared about that. I cite Antonio Brown with the fake vaccine cards. I cite steroids. I cite those type of things. But then with this, I don't know. Like, he brought it up again on his own. I didn't bring it up. He brought it up. And now I'm like, well, what do we do for the guy?
I wonder if more national pundits are bringing that point up. Exactly.
I don't know. I have zero clue. The thing, and you agreed with me, even though you just want to let colors rip me that day. I'd rather just deal with it, take the medicine now, and move on in the future. Even though Lyme agreed with me, but he didn't want to say anything because he just liked people ripping on me, so that was fine. Wouldn't you just rather get this over with now? I don't want to deal with this in 2023. Civil trial could not be held maybe until 2023, or the start of them possibly until April of 2023.
This is where
go another year?
Every day, all I continue to hear is people act like he's not getting suspended. And so those people are not going to want to have any suspension now because they don't think he's getting suspended, period. But this is so difficult for the Browns, who are trying to prepare for a season. How in the world do you prepare for the contingencies and everything of a season? Like right now, if I were to ask you, who should get all the snaps in preseason, in training camp, the ones that count, when the other teams do have their starters
right
out
now,
there? Who should get them?
Right now.
Who should get them? If the Browns Reset. Have to put a plan in place right now.
Reset. I saw
I bet you most people disagree.
I saw one video.
I don't know how you could do. There's no suspension right now.
Right.
So you have to do Deshaun right now.
It has to be Deshaun?
Yes. There is nothing imminent right now. You have to do Deshaun right now. You paid him $230 million for a reason.
Well, I think we have something to talk about tomorrow.
But I would expect, you could say you spent the money for a reason.
This goes back to last week's thing where
many
he was
times.
Wrong, too. You have to try to win this year. You can't go,
I would expect Deshaun Watson to be able to pick up the offense a little easier than a lot of teams or a lot of quarterbacks. That's, if we're saying that's why we paid him $230 million, you'd have to give him a little bit of he'd be able to pick up the offense quicker than his backup quarterbacks.
He's not suspended today. Plan is Deshaun Watson today.
Lyman just asked me. Okay, well, fine. Then today, fine. I guess it is Deshaun Watson. But you asked, if I'm leading to all this, then
I
fine.
Know what Lyman asked you. I disagree with your opinion.
Of Deshaun Watson?
Of giving Jacoby Brissett all the snaps right now.
He said the majority of the snaps.
Okay, the majority. I still disagree with that.
But you could see how tough this would be for the Browns to have to figure this out. They have to put a plan in place.
I don't know why we have to be so demeaning when we say it, and that's coming from me, the radio show host, for crying out loud here.
I just don't see why you would give all the snaps to the guy that's not the starter when the starter is
I didn't say all the snaps. He said the majority of the snaps.
Okay, fine. The majority of the snaps, Ken. You're getting stuck on the wrong word there.
Getting stuck on the wrong word.
The
it's starting, a practice. There's a guy
you're
who gets
mad
the majority
because
of the
I
snaps.
Challenge you. I get that. You,
I don't
you've
think
made
I'm
that
mad
abundantly
because,
clear.
I don't think I'm mad because
you made it abundantly clear.
Okay, I forgot it was the Owen show. Please go
right on
ahead. I didn't
say it was the Owen show. Okay, fine.
Okay, thank you very much. You said majority. I said majority. Did you say majority or all the snaps?
I love going out on a high note.
Wait a minute. Did you say majority or all the snaps?
Ooh, we're out of time. Gotta move on. We got the podcast coming up.
I mean, I got a guy who I did pay. If we're talking about the $230 million, I would expect him to be able to pick up the offense a lot quicker than the other guys in the room. Right. I would be able to pick it up quicker than Jacoby Brissett has to go be a backup for other places, but he's a backup. So, yes, he could pick up the offense quickly, but the majority of the snaps would probably go to Jacoby Brissett. Of course, I don't know. I don't know how long he's going to be suspended.
We joining up at the Dinosaur House?
It's amazing. Maybe as of right now, it does become Deshaun Watson. Judas Priest.
Dinosaur House?
You going to take a look at the dinosaur?
Are we going? Show excursion? Can we do a live show from there?
I'll be on my own. You guys go on your own.
Oh, good. Thank God. All right. Podcast coming up right now. Well, like 10 minutes. Like 15 minutes. Like 10, start listening. It's on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Extend Technologies. For Big Country, for Jeff, for AA, for the slippery wizard, Anthony Lima. I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.